and welcome to Myth Monsters. My name is Erin and I'll be your host for these little snack bite-sized podcasts on folklore and mythical monsters from around the world. These podcasts focus on the actual cryptids, folklore and mythic monsters from global mythology, rather than focusing on the full stories of heroes and their big adventures. I'll also be dropping in some references that they have to recent culture and where you can see these represented in modern day content, so that you can learn more and get obsessed as I am about these absolute legends of the mythological world. Well, I have had a very historical week this week. I went up to Manchester in the north of England this weekend for some family visits and ended up in the Bronte Village, which is a spooky little independent shop and beautiful traditional northern town architecture town, which I would really, really recommend if you are into Wuthering Heights, especially, as it is actually what it is based on. But I had a really good time. I also had a tooth pulled out, which is a wild experience as an adult, and I do not recommend it. It is one of my premolars, so you can't see it, but I can feel it still. I had it done on Tuesday, and I'm still not feeling good. Anyway, we are talking about beaks this week, though, rather than teeth, which you might think is a little bit weird, considering we're discussing a sea monster. But we are back out into the depths to look at the legendary nautical folklore monster, the Xiphias, this week. So what is the Xiphias? I've never heard of it, I hear you say. Well, you may not have heard its name before, but you've most likely seen it a million times if you've ever been interested in sea monsters like myself. The Xiphias is a sea monster that has a large owl-like head with massive, aggressive, dish-sized eyes and a beak-like mouth on a whale's body. They are about the same size as a blue whale, so obviously absolutely massive, literally the biggest creature on the planet, and are sometimes reported to have a tuft of feathers or fur around its head. They're often referred to as owl-faced and terrifying to look at, whilst being incredibly aggressive. They had razor-sharp dorsal fins, which stood at around 10 foot tall, which they would use to tear holes in ships, or even split them entirely in two. Sometimes, they even did this by accident, just swimming past, and they had no idea they were even doing it. Whilst it did look like a whale, it did have stripes running down its body with some weird paw-like legs, making it sometimes look like a sea lion or a hedgehog in some tellings. However, due to its beak and the fluff around its head, it is most commonly known as the owl whale as a nickname. This monster is known mostly to live around Scandinavia and the colder parts of Northern Europe. However, it can only survive in water and cannot venture onto land. Due to its immense size, it would also generally stick to deeper water, so it would only be found in the sea rather than in lakes or rivers. Now, Northern Europe is known for having some of the coldest bodies of water in the world, such as the North Sea, the Baltic Sea, and the Norwegian Sea, before getting over to the much warmer Mediterranean in the south, meaning that you would most likely find this around Scandinavia, the UK, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Russia, Latvia, Estonia, Poland, and Belgium, to name the northern European countries. In terms of powers, really the only ones it has are the physical gifts, such as this powerful crushing beak, very similar to those of birds and even potentially of mouths of tortoises or turtles, as well as other sea-dwelling creatures such as squids and octopus, where we see these represented in nautical creatures, as well as this powerful and destructive dorsal fin of doom, I suppose. And of course, we can link these back to sharks and all kinds of mammals that live in the sea as well. Now, they are carnivores and are most likely to be found eating seals, dolphins, sharks, and other whales. But if you were unlucky enough to come into contact with this monstrous creature and end up in the sea, it would most likely happily eat you as well. And apparently, once it tried human flesh, It really wanted to eat more of it, so would actively hunt down ships in order to eat their crew. Now, there are a few things we really don't know about this creature, such as its migratory habits, reproduction, and lifespan. However, if we take into account whales of this size that we know of today, blue whales live for about 80 to 90 years in the wild, as most other whale species, and they live and survive in pods with their young alongside them at all times, usually equating to about 8 in a pod. Whilst I couldn't find any records of the Ziphius being seen with any others, it's not to say that this didn't happen, and maybe the younger ones stayed beneath the waves safe whilst Mama did the fighting. For etymology though, the word Ziphius is actually a really interesting one, mainly because Z is a really strange letter to begin most words with, and especially considering the age of this monster, which we'll get into shortly, it's really quite odd. We don't know where Ziphius came from exactly, but we do know where the inspiration came from. It's from the Latin word for sword, Ziphius, which sounds exactly the same, I will give you that. But, most importantly, it is spelt with an X instead of a Z, which is very much more common within the Latin alphabet. Of course, we can say that an X within the English language is usually pronounced as a Z sound, maybe pointing to Ziphius being an anglicised version of the word, but it's not actually confirmed concrete anywhere. It is named after the sword due to the cutting nature of its dorsal fin, which does make it nice and easy in terms of just breaking down what that word means and how it relates to our monster. In terms of history though, this monster goes back quite a long way, but we don't really know much about it and the specifics of it either. We do know that it was first mentioned within medieval times within Scandinavia, going back to around the 16th century, or in easier terms, around 1500, when actually the medieval era was coming to a close within Europe. This was known as the emergence of modern Europe, or officially as early modern Europe, and this was the time of adventure and maritime warfare, with the reign of Elizabeth I of England and the Spanish Armada making history in the mid-1550s. Europe was known for its massive amount of ships and colonisation within this time, including the discovery of the Americas and a lot of Asia to the Europeans too. Bear in mind, I will stress, these places already existed. The Europeans just discovered them from this point onwards. There were already natives here. This is very important. Very important to remember for history and to make sure that we respect indigenous people. Which meant, of course, there were a lot of ships on the water, meaning nautical stories were not only commonplace, but also a lot of the entertainment for people on land too, as well as their income. Whilst you had traders and merchants on the sea, you also had pirates and military vessels, which meant that the variety of people on the water was vast, much vaster than we have now, even though we have stuff like cruise ships. It's just not the same in terms of exposure to the general populace. As well as this, it was a time of fantastic entertainment. It was the golden age of British theatre. Shakespeare and Marlowe were at the peak of their fame in England, and stories from other countries from across the sea were penned by some of the greats. But I will stress as well that most of these old bards never left England, and so these massive stories that we know of now, like The Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare never actually went. With the flow of the common man being on board ships though, it meant that reports of sea monsters massively increased in comparison to before this time. And all of these were being reported back to the populace back home, meaning that these stories were blown up to massive proportions, and these myths really did start to stick. But because we don't really know much historically with dates with this monster, and a lot of the records of this monster have been lost to time, unfortunately, that's about all the history I can give you in terms of this one. It is interesting, nonetheless, to know that it's as old as it is, and it still survives now with very little historical knowledge available on it. It does make me sad. I do hate it when I get to these kind of monsters, when we know that they've existed for so long, but the details are really vague and we can't give dates or any kind of eyewitness accounts, it makes me sad, but that's all I can provide, I'm afraid. What could these people have seen, though? Well, we actually have a direct comparison that we know has been linked to this monster, and in Latin, it's named the same. The Ziphius, or the Cuvier's beaked whale, is a really common whale around Europe, and is one of actually the smaller whales of the Seven Seas. These animals have a beak-like structure to their face, giving them this owlish appearance. It's just the way their skulls have formed naturally for evolution, and it does definitely make them stand out in comparison to traditional whales with the very rounded feature to their face. They actually are more likely to be mistaken for porpoises or dolphins, but are most likely to be spotted way out to sea as they are deep water whales in comparison to dolphins, which tend to stick around the coastal areas. They were discovered officially back in 1823 by Georges Cuvier, who named them after himself, of course, but in Latin after the legendary sea monster with the beak, which is a great tribute mainly, but it's also how this monster still lives on today, and I generally think if we didn't have this, this monster would have fallen out of existence and would only exist on those pirate maps. In terms of the wider species, it's actually a genus species, so 22 whales have this name too, and they are really common, so thankfully this monster will also continue to live on as long as we preserve our wonderful oceans. There were also thoughts that this monster could be mistaken for an orca, or killer whales as they're more commonly known, as these are really quite common around the north of Scotland and within Scandinavia, as they do tend to stick around colder waves. However, orcas don't tend to have this beak-like feature, bar their slightly longer noses for whales, but this could be said about most whale or dolphin species as well. Neither of these species, though, are said to be aggressive towards humans, and the beaked whale would only be eating smaller prey due to its size anyway. There have been barely any recorded attacks on people from orcas, although that has increased recently due to, of course, dwindling fish populations due to us, I'm just going to say. But it's not something that historically we have seen, whilst the Ziphius was definitely more aggressive and very up for eating people. Of course, when talking about sea monsters that are this infamous and highly misidentified, we do have to talk about the Kraken, which is very often put in the same category as this monster. The Kraken is usually described as a large sea monster of no particular description, but it is most commonly portrayed as either a giant squid or a humanoid beast. But who is to say that the Kraken couldn't be an owl-faced whale? We just don't know. And it does come from the same kind of area from around the same time, so it can definitely be pulled into the mix as a contender. But moving on to modern media, we are going to look at monstrous whales this week as they fit into this monster really well. So for art, I would really recommend having a look at old maps from around Europe, which do have the images of this monster on, and is probably the most easy way to find this, even though they are not explicitly named sometimes. Honestly, there are not many independent pieces this week, but always do have a look out for them. I use the traditional portrait from a pirate map for this week in my advertising, and it definitely represents how monstrous this monster was. In movies, we have Finding Nemo, Pinocchio, The Page Master, Moby Dick, The Asylum, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, The Adventures of Pinocchio, and Kurija Gami. For TV, we have Digimon, Berserk, Bleach, Gaio, ReZero, Toriko, The Mermaid Princess's Guilty Meal, Doctor Who, Stargate Atlantis, Walking with Beasts, BoJack Horseman, SpongeBob SquarePants, Futurama, and Courage the Cowardly Dog. In video games, we have ones such as Skies of Arcadia, Endless Ocean, Don't Starve, Omori, Resident Evil Revelations, Final Fantasy 9, 10 and 14, Dragon Quest 9, Alundra 2, Super Monkey Ball, Kingdom Hearts, Harmful Park, Fallout 4, Dishonored, Subnautica, and Cthulhu Saves the World, which I'm sure he doesn't. My book recommendation this week is Don't Shoot the Albatross, Nautical Myths and Superstitions by Jonathan Ayres, which is a great book on nautical folklore, including a lot of the monsters we've covered before, and actually have yet to cover, as well as the myths surrounding them. And another, which is a really big recommendation, is Sea Monsters, A Voyage Around the World's Most Beguiling Map by Joseph Knigg, which goes more into the monsters and how people came up with such fantastical creatures of the depths and then ended up portraying them on maps of ancient times. But now it's time for Do I Think They Existed? I think the joy of being from an island is that we have a natural fascination with the sea here in the UK. At least, I have always found that growing up here. I'm very much a sea baby. So to put a monster that I've been seeing on maps since my very early days in education, with trips to the sea to back these up, really itches something really good in my brain. But for this one, it's a very clear no. I'm so sorry. It is most likely a definite case of misidentification. I want you to just close your eyes for a second and just listen. But imagine being a pirate. You're a bit drunk. You've got one eye. And you're on a moving vessel looking out into the emptiness and sometimes blackness of the open sea. Anything that might pop up is gonna freak you out. But you see a whale with a weird looking beak face that seems massive in comparison to your boat. And you can definitely see how these kinds of monsters came into existence this way. But I do think it was most likely these beaked whales that they have been linked historically to. It does just naturally make sense. I do love the idea of pirates talking about these beasties over a bottle of rum and an open fire once they get back to land, though, scaring all of the landlubbers into believing that there were monsters like the Xiphias and the Kraken within the depths of the ocean. We are truly an imaginative and deceptive race, aren't we? It's brilliant, and as long as we have sailors and people who are willing to go out onto the open ocean, bear in mind I am not one of them, we will have sea myths, which I fully embrace and look forward to. But what do you think? Did the Xiphias roam the seas destroying ships and eating sailors? Let me know on Twitter, I would love to know what you think about this one. A really great and historically influential monster that I really loved covering this week, going all the way back to my primary school days and looking at old pirate maps, and now being able to name all of the monsters that are on them is true character development for me, and it makes me very happy. We are now, though, on a break, all the way until the 12th of October, so that I can have my annual two-week September break. This is to prep for 3 weeks after this, where I've got a wedding in Glasgow on the 19th, London Comic Con on the 27th, and I'm also off to BlizzCon in California from the 2nd to the 8th of November. So I'm going to make sure that all of these episodes are written, recorded, and edited for you whilst I'm out. Of course, if you are at any of these events, maybe bar the wedding, that one's a bit strange, unless you do actually know me. But if you do spot me at any of these other events, such as BlizzCon or at London Comic Con on the Friday, please do come and say hello. I will most likely be wearing some form of my homemade merch for the podcast, so please stop by. I will most likely be fangirling over something to do with Baldur's Gate. But when we do come back on the 12th of October, we are heading over to the beautiful island of Bali for a horrible monster, the Layak. Keep pregnant ladies away from these graveyards when we come back on the 12th of October, and I hope you have a wonderful 2 weeks away from me. But now though, thank you so much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a rating on the service you are listening on. I've got the Twitter for any questions or suggestions on what monsters to cover next, and I'd really love to hear from you. The social media handles for TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram are Myth Monsters Podcast, and the Twitter is Myth Monsters Pod. But all of our content can always be found at mythmonsters.co.uk, and you can find us on Good Pods, Buy Me a Coffee, and Patreon if you want to help me fund the podcast too. Come join the fun though, share this with your pals, they might love me as much as you do. But for now, stay spooky, And I'll see you later, babes.